This is the locker room. We talk about it, you talk about nothing new. Grab you a drink and get comfortable. Shooting shit cause we got nothing to do. My girl, she mad, she say, I only listen to locker room. I'd rather do that than listen to all of her moods. Mix it like alchemy, I know they doubted me. Pay me my hourly, I don't do salary. Take them out, I burn the calories. Never go nowhere where locker room's out of reach. Never was late cause I don't know how to be. Come check to Mitch cause he got the fix. And this is too easy, come run it up with Dimitri. We talking sports in the other, you might as well call the stuff teaching. They be beneath me, couldn't catch up. We keep it PG, never slip up. You couldn't reach me, turning this up. From here down to Fiji, they know what's up. Since we got game, we figure we give it out. Stay for a bit, this ain't no winning out. Lot of things happening, this where we thinning out. I'd like to stand, but it's cool if you sitting down. Listen now, tell them to keep it down. I'm in position now, tell them it's time for the business now. You had your time, but it isn't now. Locker room's talking, I need you to zip it now.
Oh, here we go.
Oh boy. Hey there, partner. Hey there, little.
Hold on, is that you? Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Oh, buddy, I can hear you loud and clear. Never mind.
Oh, I love it.
Never mind.
What time is it?
It is 9:29.
Okay, we started in 1 minute.
In 1 minute. This is big. This is huge. We're in the green room. We actually have a green room.
Yes. But the difference is they can actually hear everything we're saying.
Yeah. Hey, what episode is this? Is this technically 155?
Yeah, it is actually. Thank you for reminding me.
That's crazy.
You know what? And think about this. With the amount we missed, we'd probably be around the 175 mark around there. I think we missed about 20.
Easy.
Like
easy.
All up and kind of like even before COVID.
See, this is why Superfan Ryan is a gem, right? The guy misses last week, and we get it. We understand. He's got, he had to be with the family. So what does he do? Hey, the next week I'm going to come a minute early.
I like it. I like what he does there.
Welcome, Superfan Ryan. Really quick, before we actually get started, he sent me this thing called Discord. So we got to check it out.
Okay. What is it?
Yeah, it's like a forum that you can set up. But we'll do some research on it. But he thought it'd be good for the roster. Let's just get the channels out of the way. Don't forget at RLRT Podcast. If you are on Twitter and Instagram, if it's on Facebook and YouTube, you just search up Real Locker Room Talk. And don't forget, you can like, listen, love, share, download, stream, do whatever the heck you want on this podcast of ours on Podbean, Spotify, iTunes, Roster. You heard the two. They get it. They're here each and every week along with some other guests that pop in from time to time. And you can join every Wednesday, 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. And you heard it right here. If you're on the chat, you just call in. Mitch sees it. And hey, if you're deemed worthy, guess what? You are in like Flint, my friends. This is really big. And I will say, South Carolina, George, super fan, Ryan, keep the chat going, because sometimes what you guys got going is even more entertaining than what we're doing on the show. So don't stop. Mitch, yeah. Speaking of show, what do we got on the show today?
I don't know, man. Apparently this podcast is literally turned into a wrestling show. I don't know how it happened. I don't mind, actually. To be honest, with no NFL around and the NHL in the middle of the season and NBA, I'm okay with it. If you want to change Real Locker Room Talk to be actually like a full 1 hour, half an hour, 40 minute wrestling podcast, I'm down with it. I think we already have two votes in for that.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Real quick, right before we start, we got it all, man. We got NHL, a little NBA, a little NFL, rapid banter, quick pick six, Maga Malaka, of course. But real quick, did you literally, we don't have to stay on it. Did you see Coming to America, the movie's coming out right now? Did you see this?
I don't know. Yes. I don't know if I'm excited. I don't know if I'm sad.
Neither am I.
I'm torn in the middle, Mitch, because number one, Coming to America, the first one, iconic, brilliant movie.
That's what I'm saying.
Right. But now, you know, I got to say, I don't know if it's a matter of there's so much content and also the need for businesses to produce content that they're just coming up with any idea to keep it busy, right? Like, that's why I say this is a bittersweet pill for me. Like, is it going to be funny? Probably. Eddie Murphy's funny, right? But I don't know, Mitch. I'm torn. I'm not going to lie.
He's been out of the game for a while, but I never worried because you know what? And we're going to talk about it a little later. Eddie Murphy is the GOAT of comedy. From there, we go to quick pick six. Are you ready, partner?
I'm ready, partner.
Here we go. No taste buds or colorblind.
Colorblind.
So if you flip a coin, you have a chance to win $100 or just take $50 right off the bat.
Give me the 50 off the bat.
I knew it. You're so cheap. For the rest of your life, hit every red light or have slow internet, slow Wi-Fi.
Oh, hit every red light. I need that Wi-Fi.
All right. There's a guy on death row. Would you rather be the guy that flips the switch or the judge that puts him in that seat?
The judge that puts him in the seat.
Really? It's a power thing, isn't it? It's the power thing.
There's just some things I don't want to see. You know, it's like some people don't mind eating meat, but they don't want to know that it gets butchered. That's how I feel about that side of the world. You know what I mean?
Okay. I never thought. Go blind or go deaf?
Yeah, you know what? Go deaf. Yeah, I mean, half the time I can't stand what you're saying, so...
And same with my wife. Like, I was thinking about this too. I'm like, that's the best way of getting out of all the chores. What? I can't hear
you. You know what? You just point.
All right. High paying job, but you're miserable, right? So job that pays you big money, but you hate it, or your dream job, but you're able to pay just the bare minimums of your life.
I'd rather have a high paying, miserable job. And so does everyone else in this world. And if you think not good, yeah, go screw yourself. Are you kidding? Come on now.
From there.
You can think about how crappy your job is when you can afford to go to vacation 5 times a year, okay? So let's just take it easy. Everyone relax. We don't need to be noble.
You're just being honest.
Come on, South Carolina, George, dream job. Come on, man. We're not 18 anymore. We got bills in it. Come on.
I'm with South Carolina, George. You're a traitor to me.
I actually believe South Carolina, George, on this one. I truly do.
Speaking of high-paying jobs, let's start with the NHL. Okay. So last week, the Montreal Canadiens decided, hey, Claude, hey, you, Kirk Muller, you guys, gone. Get out of here. You guys are dragging down this team. You're the reason that this is falling apart. So they put in kind of a two-tiered coaching system in place. Things haven't gone well. So the GM says, wait a minute. I figured it out. It's the goalie coach. So they a couple of podcasts ago, I would say maybe like literally 50 podcasts ago, I brought up the idea of getting rid of Mr. Carey Price, only for the reason of like how much money he garners, how, you know, as a goalie, like a running back in the NFL, they're kind of good for a few years, they're good for a certain amount of time, and then they're kind of dime a dozen as the NHL goes on now. I want to know, and I want to go back to it. Is this, if Montreal feels like they're totally slipping to the point where they can't even really make the playoffs, maybe in their mind, because that's what it seems like. They think they're taking on tons of water. Is it maybe time to get rid of Price?
So, you know, for those that have listened the past few weeks, right? I mean, there's two sides to the goaltender train. Goaltenders in the NHL seem to be like quarterbacks in the NFL. Maybe there's just a couple out there that are complete game breakers. Outside of that, you just need someone who's pretty good and can manage the game. Because as we've seen, especially in the NHL, it's turned into a two goaltender system. I'd argue the point that you don't need to pay a guy. If anyone, heard my Matt Murray tirade the other week, you don't need to pay a guy that much money. You can have a couple people at $5 million get the job done. And so normally I would say, if this was a 3 year ago chat, if this was even longer than then, I would say, no, you pay Carey Price all the money in the world, because to be completely honest, he was the only reason they made the playoffs. But now here where we are, he's older. I don't care what anyone's saying. He is slowing down. He's not the same guy. And you cannot have a guy that is getting this much money when it's not winning you games. And the money just doesn't make sense on his performance, but it's not going to get any better. Get rid of him. Get him going. I mean, this is where, you know, think about what, you know, Toronto did, Mitch. I mean, everyone we talk about with Frederik Andersen saying it's not the it's not the idea, but we've come to learn he's been pretty good for them this year, even last year too. So when you think of guys guys. Like, I'm just looking around the league. I mean, when you think of our hometown boys, like the Calgary Flames, who will go out and get a Markstrom at a good value. And it worked in Vancouver's. And I know Calgary's losing, but it's not because of him. When you're looking at, just those Vasilevskis, these people for, you know, and guys, Hellebuck, guys from around the league that are completely outperforming at a much better value. So no, out. See ya. Bye.
So South Carolina George comes in and says, well, how are you going to get rid of $10 million? Great, great question. And I haven't thought of it that far down the line, George, but here's my theory on it, okay? There are
some it's called the Buffalo Sabres.
I was just going to score a guy that you just took the words out of my mouth.
Oh, really?
You are going to find a team, in my opinion, will pay for it. A, because the fans, I do believe by the end of this season, the fans will be in the stadiums again. So from a marketing point of view, they're going to need somebody. They're going to need more of that star power. Number two, they're... if you can't trade him, George, and I know this is going to be blasphemy, do you maybe use the old, like, put him on the waivers card and see what happens? I know it's horrible. I know it's bad. And he doesn't deserve that kind of action. But the whole thing, and I'm not really picking on him. I'm kind of picking on the NHL in general from how they treat their superstars. They hold on to these guys forever. Okay, we here in Calgary are absolutely guilty of that with Jerome Iginla. Like, we ended up trading our greatest asset way too late. Is Montreal too late on in regards to trading Carey? Yeah, it's absolutely late. However, you got to at least try. If they're firing the two head coaches and that didn't work, and they're firing now the goalie coach, it's
the goalie coach, like, Mitch.
That's how
come
desperate
on.
They have become in their own locker room, in their own head offices, going, we got to do something. I don't think Carey's the problem per se all the way through, but I do think he is part of the problem. And that money doesn't help. I mean, it's hurting their cash flow. But there is a team out there. I do believe it could be the Buffalo. It could be, I can't think of one off the top. But there is a team out there that I think would say, you know what? This guy might be able to get a couple of fans in the seats. This guy still maybe got a little oil left in the tank, a little gas left. And maybe there's something left over for us to jump on it. I'm not entirely convinced that he isn't tradable. I think that he is. I really do believe. Maybe not this year, but by the end of the year, I think he could be gone. I don't know. I just feel like the NHL, really, at the end of the day, there's something about them where they really hold on to their superstars right to the bitter end, and then they go and try to trade them, or these guys ask to be released, and it's way too late and you get nothing for it. I just never understood that. Where I'll give you, and we'll talk about it a little bit later, the NFL is notorious for being excellent at that. What have you done for me lately? You had a 1,000-yard season last year, but this year you didn't do anything? See ya. Bye. Maybe the NHL should start looking at scenarios like that a little bit. I know it sounds a little cutthroat, but I'm looking at that from, guys, I just want to see the sport do well. These youngsters do so well, and that's what I'm seeing.
Well, Mitch, you hit it. You hit it. I think what happens is these GMs, they shoot themselves in the foot. And then they run into the predicament now, and they say, well, I want to get rid of a Carey Price, but I also want to get a little bit of the money back that I invested in it, but you know that you can't. So then you have the position of, well, do I just ride it into the sunset because I can get zero value, or do I, you know, because in the NFL, you're right, there is a what have you done for me lately type of league. There's no question about it. I think it's easier to make these kinds of decisions. Whereas here, it's also the nature of the way they throw these contracts around. Like, it seems at every opportunity, everyone's on max contract, at max this, at max that, and can't do this, and blah, 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 blah. Okay. You can't waive them. But what I will say, South Carolina, Georgia, I agree with Mitch. You know, given the presence of a Buffalo, a New Jersey, I'm just looking in the East here, the New York Rangers. I mean, Arizona. I mean, there's a team that might, you know, like, there's teams out there that I truly believe will do a 1 year, 2 year, just to see if they can get over the hump, right? I mean, take a look at what Florida did, because in some cases it can work. You get a guy like Bobrovsky, pushes you over the edge. You know, then after a while, the agent's got to have a talk with the player and say, hey, you know what, man? No one really wants you anymore. So unless you're willing to take less money, I mean, what do we do? I think that's going to happen with him, because you just can't carry on this way anymore.
You're absolutely right. And you know, you picked on a team that you make a really good point. Who did the New York Rangers for the longest time keep and maybe past his prime? Henry Lundqvist, the real king of goaltending, let's call it what it is. And then Washington picks him up on a 1 year. The guy ends up, you know, having some sort of condition. He can't play this year, but he still got picked up. So I'm convinced there's a market for this guy. I'm convinced that somebody would pick him up. If Lundqvist could get picked up, Carey Price can easily get picked up. Well, maybe not easily. He will get picked up. And I agree, George. He garners a big stick. He's got big money behind him. But I'm convinced, and I think you picked the team, Dimitri. I think the Rangers are that team that would say, hey, you know what? Maybe we shouldn't have let go of Henrique so quickly. Maybe because they're struggling, and goaltending is definitely one of their struggles. Maybe they say, hey, let's go grab the price.
Well, you know what? They also got a star player that's not going to be playing for a while in Panarin. It looks like he ran into some trouble. So they're going to need some help, Mitch.
Yeah, we got to talk about that soon.
That's crazy, man. I know that's like... I don't even know.
Because they just canceled Dr. Seuss and Mr. Potato Head this past week. I'm just scared to say anything now.
So yeah, let's just move on.
Just want to move on. Okay, we'll just move on.
Okay. Yeah.
From there, let's go to the RLRT Power Rankings. It's everyone's new favorite segment. All right. At number five, it's a new entry, and you know what? Actually, right before I tell you who number five is, there's a team that's creeping in. They're looking. They're the little creepers in the middle of the night that look through the window. It's you, Edmonton Oilers. You're looking in and you're saying, hey, I want to join this RLRT power ranking, but you're not in yet. You know who did make it, though? It's another team from Canada. It's the Winnipeg Jets. Dimitri, you like my number five?
I think it's justified. You know, really, you know, for a team that has a plane on them, they sure flew under the radar, but into the top five.
I love it. And at number four, it's Dimitri's dark horse. Or is it? Are they really a dark horse? No, they're not. It's you, Washington Capitals, at number four.
Well, you know what? I'm always going to be a little biased and say they deserve a little more love, because at the end of the day, Mitch, they are number one in that East Conference. However, I know where you're going with this, because I you know what? Let me hear your take, because I think you're right. I think you nailed it at four.
At number three.
Can I guess?
Please.
Can I guess? Because I'm thinking this is where you're putting the Florida Panthers.
You know what? They were on the list, but they didn't make the list.
They're
in a community watch program. You're right. I had them last week. I took them down. You know why? Because it's their counterpart, same division. But this is the team that's over the last, I would say, 3 years. And it's Georgia's team. It's the Carolina Hurricanes. These guys are just sneaky good.
Yeah, see, I thought you were going to go Florida, then Carolina. So now I'm stumped.
So at number two, was there a change at the top? Hell no. It's you, Tampa Bay. I don't give a crap if Vasilevsky's had three straight shutouts. I don't give a crap about nothing. Tampa Bay, you're number two.
Makes sense to me, because at the end of the day, you know what? We talked about wrestling when we started. And Mitch, to be the man, you got to beat the man. Woo! And I think that I know that you, you know what? I'm just going to maple leaf it to you to tell us who's the top dog in the league.
Absolutely. And for the fourth straight week, it's unprecedented. Ladies and gentlemen, they carry the title. They're the Bobby Lashley of the NHL. It's the Toronto Maple Leafs, and well deservingly, they are just crushing it right now. They're playing some great hockey. I can't say anything.
Well, I mean, look what they did. The Oilers and the Leafs just finished their game not too long ago today, and they demolished the Edmonton Oilers. But hey, riding high. You know what? It's no secret, right? Because this team has always been good the last few years, but I feel like they finally made some moves that complemented a lot of other places where they needed to get better, and taking the pressure off those people that they thought could fill those roles but just aren't. So I'm talking to the Marners and the Nylanders in terms of getting a little tougher, filling in spaces where they need.
I want to do something here. At number five on the RLRT impotent list, ladies and gentlemen, the the Ottawa Senators. Yes, it took the Calgary Flames to go out to Ottawa to get them out of number one. Ottawa, congratulations. You're almost off the list. You're not off the list, but congratulations on making it to number five on the RLRT impotent list. At number four, it's the Detroit Red Wings. Not bad. You were off the list. You got back on the list. Now you're at the bottom of the list again. That's where you want to be. At number three, Anaheim Ducks. You're kind of like the Carolina. You're just going to stay. I feel like you're going to stay in that top five for a little while. You're just going to sit there, move around, rank up and down. But it's you, Anaheim. You're at number three. At number two, hey, Johnny Hockey, wake up. The nightmare is real. The Dallas Stars are my number two pick of the RLRT impotent list, which means Dimitri at number one. And they deserve it. They've been in the media. They've been all over the place. They hate each other. They love each other. I don't know. It's you, Buffalo Sabres. Gone. You have now taken over the number one, and I feel like you guys are going to stay there for a very, very, very long time. Thoughts?
I think you nailed this impotent list as well. And again, why do we call it the impotent list? Because these are the teams that just can't get it up. Not in the standings and probably not anywhere else at this point in time. Mitch, you know what? You nailed it. It's because, the thing is for me, Buffalo, even if they're not the worst team in the league by points, you also got to take into the factor the amount of talent that are on these teams and still can't perform. And, you know, Buffalo, I just don't understand how they're even there. You know, I mean, I'm looking at the Rangers. I'm looking at the Devils. This team certainly has to be hurdled over them. And quite frankly, I'm looking at Pittsburgh and Philadelphia. I understand, you know, Philly had a good year last year, and they're going to continue it to some degree. But, you know, Buffalo should be battling Philadelphia and Pittsburgh for, you know, for those spots, right, to hurdle them. So, yeah, I don't know what's going on.
So George came in and is choosing the Calgary Flames, or believes that the Calgary Flames really should be at number one. George, I won't lie to you. When they took that 7-1 pounding from Ottawa last week, they were on the list and they were like number two. They were about to go to number one. Then they redeemed themselves a little bit. Then they lose again. But I will tell you this, they're creeping in there, man. And this is the sad part about this team. We talk about it religiously all the time. What is wrong with these guys? I don't know. I don't want to sit on it because I have other more important things to talk about.
Yeah, well, South Carolina, George, is calling them the Flaccid Flames. And I would say no amount of Viagra or Cialis can save them.
I came across a crazy stat that I wanted to show you. Going back to 2015, that was the year that Connor McDavid was drafted. But along in that draft class was a whole bunch of other players that were unreal. And I wanted to give you a stat that I just came across the other day. And I think it's unbelievable because a lot of times we give McDavid a lot of praise and people might think we're pumping his tires and this and that and all the marketing behind him. There's a reason. Listen to this, Dimitri. So 2015, all right, draft class. At number one in points is McDavid, 509 points. At number two is Jack Eichel, 351 points. Connor McDavid, same year drafted, same time they're playing, has 158 more points than the number two guy in the same draft class.
And think about the time missed.
This is what I'm saying, man.
You know, like, you know, I think people forget, you know, they threw another stat out the other week when I can't remember I just can't remember the milestone and the points, but McDavid had reached the same amount of points that Sidney Crosby did, the same amount of games played, blah, blah, blah. But people are forgetting that, or same, you know, in the same season, call it, but people are forgetting that McDavid's played less games. He actually beat that record. If you think about it, right? So, man, this guy is power charged. And you know, think about, Mitch, the era that we're in right now. Like, we're very spoiled to the sense where, you know what, maybe we didn't get the Gretzky's, maybe we didn't get the Bobby Orr's, Gordie Howe's, you know, a lot of, you know, these iconic players. But we're getting a Crosby and Ovechkin. And the torch goes to a McDavid. This is insanity to me. Like in the NFL, we're getting Brady and then Mahomes. Right. I don't know what to tell you. Like, what a great era for sports.
And to add to your point, listen to I want to give you the other names that are on this list. So from the 2015, and these guys are all superstars in the NHL and on their teams respectively. Mitch Marner at number three, 324 points. At number four, Sebastian Aho, 281. Mikko Rantanen, 266. Brazel over in the Islanders, 225. Kyle Connor, 220. Travis Konecny over in Philadelphia, 193. Brock Besser at 184. And Zach Werenski over in Columbus, 172. These are excellent players.
What a draft class.
What a great draft class. Absolutely. But where I'm just so taken back, like, man, every time I keep saying that McDavid's amazing, and I know I've said, hey, maybe you should trade him, and I still do believe it, and that's another day. We'll get into it again one day. But the point of the matter is, just in his own draft class, man, this guy is Ivy League. It's crazy how good this guy
is. Yeah. You know, and South Carolina George brings up a good point here in the chat room, and he says that Eichel is elite but not generational, and I agree with that as well. Like I don't think anyone's generational on that list, and yeah, I mean that's crazy. And you know what I'd like to do? You know what we should do? Why don't we take this because the Sidney Crosby draft class? I remember that one was off the charts because if you recall, that World Junior team was basically an NHL team. Like I would argue, they could have beat some of the standing NHL teams. I wonder. We should do a hypothetical. If we take the top five draft picks, right, mm-hmm. and the top five from back then, who would win?
Done. Let's do it for next week in the hockey segment. Let's do 2015 versus Crosby and the boys class, and we'll go from there.
I like it.
And we'll figure it out. I love it. From there, let's jump over to the NBA really quickly. Listen, the NBA All-Star Games in a couple of weeks. There's some injuries. There's some snuffs. We talked about a little bit last week. But there's one story that came across my desk that I thought was absolutely hilarious. So James Harden puts up a big fuss in Houston, says, get me out of here. I want out of here. They finally said, okay, fine, here, go to Brooklyn, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. The Houston Rockets have already gone on record and said they're going to retire James Harden's jersey. Thoughts on that?
Unless it's going in the garbage. Come on, man. Come on. I mean, you know, do we just give it to anyone? Like, is this the 10th place ribbon award, you know, because you participated? Like, what are we doing over here? I mean, you retire someone's jersey because yes, the physical accomplishments that they made in their respective sport, what they did for the city, what they did for the team. But I don't know, should it not be reserved for a class of gentlemen as well to say that, you know what, like, you don't touch this number because it means way too much to the organization. Like, you don't touch number 66 in Pittsburgh or anywhere in the league. You don't touch 99. Like, you know, it's for a different breed. I mean, James Harden, let's call it what it is. The guy was an Oklahoma City Thunder player for years, came over here for a bit. Now he left and he didn't even want to stay and he stuck it to everybody. And he was an ass about it too. So no, retire it in the garbage. Actually, if anything, I would go shop out and find the worst player in the NBA, give him a contract for a couple days, give him Harden's jersey with Harden's name on it, and then, you know, and then take care of business. Mitch, this is stupid.
Dude, when I heard the statement, I'm like, okay, you know what? Yeah, he's one of your best players of all time in your franchise, but why are you issuing a statement in the middle of the year that has nothing to do with anything? Like, it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like you broke up with your girlfriend, right? And like 10 months later, a year later or whatever, you call her up and you're like, hey, I still love you. Like, it's so weird. It's
no.
Odd comment to make this early. Like, 5 years from now, they want to retire it. You know what? We're going to forget about all this hoopla and we'd be like, yeah, oh yeah, of course. Yeah, he was amazing there, blah, blah. But the guy just got traded. What's your problem? Why is this even
Mitch,
being talked about?
He left them, didn't want to play anymore. They're the second worst team in the Western Conference, and the Brooklyn Nets are the second best team in the Eastern Conference. I'm just on right now. Do you realize the Houston Rockets in their last 10 games? You know how many games they've won in the last 10?
Two.
Zero. Zero. How can you respect this guy? He's not coming back. You know what it is? That's what it is, hey? They think he's coming back.
You know what? That's exactly
that. They're like,
So my boyfriend comment works, where the guy says, "I love you," and then he's waiting at the door. She'll be back.
She'll be back. You know what I mean? Come on.
That's hilarious, man. So from one dumpster fire in Houston, let's go to the other one in the NFL. The Houston Texans have a huge problem right now with Deshaun Watson. They don't know what to do. The guy literally will not play. He had a meeting with the new head coach of the
Houston. Oh, sorry to interrupt, Mitch. I know what they should do. Retire his jersey. It's a Houston thing, no?
So this is what I heard they're going to do. They're going to retire it while he's playing. So they're like, come back and we'll still put it in the Raptors, right? No, that's not true. But so you got Deshaun basically going, I am not going to play for you guys. Get lost. Leave me alone. So then JJ Watt goes, oh, hey, guys over here, I want to go too. So for the last week, Instagram, Facebook, social media has been going crazy. Where's JJ going to go? Where is he going to go? Green Bay. He's from Wisconsin. He's going to come to Green Bay. He's going to go to Pittsburgh. He's going to play with his two brothers. And out of nowhere, the Arizona Cardinals give him 2 years, $31 million. Ladies and gentlemen, you want to find a team that wants useless players? No, look no further than your Arizona Cardinals. Look, I'm not that big of a hater on J.J. Watt. I just think they gave him $31 million, 2 years, and they came out of nowhere. They obviously came in with the heaviest price. JJ went for the money, not for the championship.
No, you know what, Mitch? I disagree. I think it's a little bit of both. Now, let's call it. I saw it. I'm like, what? He went to the zone. But hold on a sec. Is the Arizona not really the Houston at this point in time of the NFC?
You might be right.
They got a young quarterback that's got some great promise. Okay, that seems to be performing well. They got they got the wide receiver that was from Houston.
Yeah.
Now playing in Arizona. They got the right veteran mix and young, dynamic. Well, the second part of it too is it's a team that he thinks that he could probably help. The weather seems right. Everything seems right. You know what? I think this is a good move. Now, do I think that the contract is overpriced? Personally, yes, I do, Mitch. You know it and I know it, right? Especially guys like him, they're just, you know, one bad snap away from his being done for the season, right? Like J.J. Watt's no stranger to injuries. But it's going to help. I think it was a great move. Like, good for Arizona. Like, this team – look, this team got tougher.
Listen, from in the locker room, yeah, they got tougher. On paper, yeah, they got tougher. But, buddy, with all due respect, J.J. Watt hasn't been an effective, in my opinion, an effective defensive end for a few years. He's you do have to watch him. You can't just leave him, but you don't have to double team him. You don't have to really game plan around him. I'm sorry. 5 years ago, absolutely. 10 years or 7 years ago, yes, absolutely. The guy was a terror. But I do feel like Arizona just basically paid for a jersey to get sold in the stands and make some money. Outside of that, I don't think he's really helping that team as much as we think he is.
Okay, fair enough. But do you really think, though, that they picked him up and really wanted him to solve the problem, like to be the ace, or just to be a Mitch to Dimitri? You know what I mean? Just take the...
That's a good point. I would say he actually thinks he's the Dimitri to the Mitch, and that's the whole thing.
Shows up, does nothing, takes the glory. I get it. And it could work.
But when you really get into the analytics of it, yeah, no, I don't. I think it's quite evident to see who runs what show.
I might be the worst contract signing on Real Locker Room Talk, for sure, ever.
That's so from there, we could touch and go on this one really quick. Look, Dak Prescott has come out, his agents come out, some people have been coming out and saying he wants Mahomes money. Do you want me to start laughing and wake up my child, or do you? Which one do you want it to be?
Look, I'll tell you what. If Dak Prescott was my child, I'd probably take a time machine, go back to the 1960s and spank him. But then again, look, you know what? Here's the thing. I personally think that he even realizes his time's done in Dallas. I got to be honest with you. I think this is a game of one-upmanship to see who's the person that's going to crack first. I think it's a little childish. He clearly wants out. I think he's strong-arming them. I think he knows that he could get that money anywhere else, and I actually think he doesn't care anymore to play in Dallas. Now, I could be wrong, but... No, I'm sorry. So, is he worth it, Mitch? No, he's not worth it. The guy hasn't done anything. The guy hasn't even done, the guy hasn't even come into the playoffs to show that he can do the money that he's asking for. He's asking for Super Bowl winning money, and the answer is no. At this point in time, Mitch, is he really any better than a Kirk Cousins? Sorry to say.
I heard this stat today, and I wish I wrote it down, but I heard it while I was working out, so I didn't have a pen on me. But listen to this. Dak Prescott right now is on that franchise train, like I was telling you. He's getting franchise tagged all the time. But the one good thing about the franchise tag is that it's guaranteed money. When they say they're going to franchise tag you, basically what they're saying is they won't commit to you. So you're the booty girl, okay, or the booty guy, whatever. You're getting the call at night, you're having the sex, everything's cool, but you're not getting the commitment, okay? So what's happened? Buddy, Kirk Cousins has made $192 million. If he makes the roster this week, March 22nd, if he's still on the roster, he will have confirmed to have made $192 million guaranteed in the NFL. And the majority of that was all through the franchise. So, Dak, it's not that bad, bro. What is everyone's problem, man? Why does everyone want the commitment? What's wrong with the late night call? I don't get it.
No, it's a good call. sometimes it's the right call, you know?
Sure, you want a little dinner sometimes, but guess what? There's Kraft dinner. There's roasted chickens at your local grocery store. Eat alone. But you ain't going to be alone at night, honey. It's all good. It's all good, man.
Skip the dishes. They'll come to you, you know? Hey, Uber Eats. You don't even...
Leave the door open. They'll come.
It's really designed for you. You know, there's no work that needs to be put in. Mitch, I don't know. Like, you know what? He's going to get it. If he gets it in Dallas, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, I don't even know why they're playing this game. I say you cut them. I mean, what does Dallas got to lose? They're already the laughing stock of the league for the last few years. Dude,
I'll leave you on this bit. I'm guaranteed this guy. This is my bold prediction. If you're going to take the Washington Capitals to win the Stanley Cup, here's Mitch's bold prediction for the NFL. Russell Wilson will end up in Dallas and Dak will end up in Seattle. Boom. Done. Finished. Telling you it's going to happen. I guarantee it.
So full-on swap.
Full-on swap. But it'll be a trade swap. It'll be, here, you guys take him. We'll give you a little bit of a draft pick for this, and boom. And at the end of the day, both teams are going to win at this. Seattle right now, Russell. Buddy, here, real quick on Seattle since we're on the NFL. What do you think of Russell Wilson last week? Him and his agent basically came out. It sounds like the agent came out and said he is very happy here. So this is what happened. Super Bowl weekend, he goes. He's sitting with Goodell. He sees Brady. He's like, man, why can't I have that? You know? And then the reports came out that he's unhappy with how the offense is being ran in Seattle. Okay. And then all of a sudden, everyone's like, oh, he's out of here. He's out of here. He goes, I'm not leaving. I'm not going anywhere. But here's the four teams I would mind getting traded to. What do you think of that? Where he does the, I don't want to get traded. I never asked for the trade. However, here are the four teams: the Las Vegas Raiders, the New Orleans Saints, the Dallas Cowboys, and the Chicago Bears. But I mean, I'm not gonna go. But if you were gonna trade me, here are the teams I want.
Look, let me tell you what this was. This is like, you know, roster. We love our mobster movies. This was, look, I can't take the envelope. But if you leave it on the table, I will make sure that it's not left behind, for the safety and the integrity of your property. Wink, wink. Okay. So, I mean, that's, that's all there is to it. Like, he's basically saying, hey, guys, never really talked about it, but hey, do you mind? Can you make the call? Can you make the call? Can you initiate this, please? That's all that is. I'll end it with this. I agree with him. I think he does so much work on that team now, mind you, he's got some great receivers that can catch the ball. It's like, the ball sticks in their hands, but the guy puts in a lot of work to make those things happen. And Seattle is a team, and I think he recognizes it, that is dwindling. Like, ever since they won, you know, they won one Super Bowl, went back to back appearances, that team has been dwindling year after year after year after year, and I think he knows it's going to get worse.
Couldn't agree more. From there, we go to some beautiful things that happen on Monday Night Raw. A big change in the atmosphere of WrestleMania. All happened live on Monday night.
That's amazing. That's right. The almighty Bobby Lashley, the champ. He's the champ. He did it.
Now, can I say something? I like the fact that he's the champ, I won't lie to you. But what was with all the buildup of, like, you know, the Miz didn't want to fight him, and he was trying to run away, and then he ended up just destroying him. Like, it was kind of like really bad. Like,
no, I liked it because it made him look like a coward, and so it just totally heightened him. You know, okay, he's gonna go in there and take care of business and just pummel the guy to death, right? You know, they got to set him up, right? It can't be like a hard-fought match. Like, this is Bobby Lashley we're talking about.
Well, a little bit of an effort would have been nice. A little effort from The Miz. I mean, here, I'm not a Miz fan at all. I don't like the guy. I never did. I don't think he's entertaining in any sort of capacity. However, he's got the belt, respect. Put a little bit of a fight up. Put something up. And then, but WrestleMania, what do you think? It's going to be Lashley and...
Well, you know what? I'm starting to think that what if there's a little Brock Lesnar coming back?
That's what I was thinking too.
Right? Like, they're both MMA fighters. Because he did a stint, hey? That guy did a stint in MMA. Oh, yeah, Bobby Lashley, he tried to... You know, he went as... I think, like, him and who else? I know Batista did too. But that'd be a good setup. I think that'd be a good setup. Up for those to go at it.
What's that blonde guy? The bro guy. He's from MMA as well.
Matt Riddle.
Yeah.
He was is he an MMA guy?
Yeah, he was.
Oh, I had no idea. I had no idea. See, and this is the thing too, right? Is like, it is when you know, you just wish some people stayed. Like, could you imagine that Matt Riddle guy with the Long Island? What did they call him? Like, basically, you know, the broski. Zack Ryder, the Long Island IZ, that's it. Like, those guys would have been the best tag team of all time.
You know what? That would have been a great one. And welcome the big man, South Carolina George, into the room.
South Carolina George, just to get you up to speed, we're talking little Bobby Lashley, talking about the belt. Superfan Ryan's here a minute early. Now, I got to say something here on the topic of wrestling. And I'm glad, you know what? I'm glad we get it out of the... What?
Hold on. Did I get it in? Hello? Oh, Superfan Ryan was trying to come in and I tapped him, but I don't know. Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
Okay, well, if he tries again, tell me.
Yes, he's in. There it is.
This feels good, guys.
welcome to the locker room, my friend.
Man, I wanted to get in on this wrestling talk, if that's okay.
Please.
Absolutely.
Nice to hear your voice, man.
Yeah. Oh, it's great to be on. No, and you know, Mitch, I agree. It was kind of like, I don't know, like the Miz really got jobbed out, and I'm just kind of wondering what was the point of even giving him the belt
exactly
to begin with. And then if it doesn't even seem like Drew McIntyre is getting a rematch or anything, like, what was the whole point of the elimination chamber then?
So Superfan Ryan, when you agree with Mitch, unfortunately, we're now out of time. We have to get back to the show. Yeah, you know what? He's right. You know what, Superfan Ryan, you're absolutely right. Like, why would they go ahead and just decide to make this build up, have him pull the move, and then lose it really quickly? I think it's like they tend to waste. Like, sometimes I think the writers just they just fall out of line, and they just, you know, they go, we don't know where to go from here, so let's make it up. But I'll tell you what, at least South Carolina George isn't on the call, because that would just change everything. Wait a second.
Wait a minute.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, how are you going to have wrestling talk without the one, the only, South Keka Lucky George on the line? I have arrived.
Nice.
Oh, man.
really quickly, here's my whole thought, gentlemen. I couldn't agree more with Super Ben Ryan. I think that they really should have just get Bobby Lashley and McIntyre in some sort of feud, but they don't even need to like have a problem. I agree. Why didn't they just let them go at it at WrestleMania, then give Lashley the belt at WrestleMania and do it that way? Yeah, this is all backwards, man. This is weird. I don't get it. Maybe McIntyre pissed somebody off in the back or something, because it doesn't even seem he's up for it. I agree with you, Superman. I don't know what's going on, man. I have no idea.
Yeah. It's even like The Miz becoming the Money in the Bank champion, like the whole thing with Otis was just kind of weird how they just took it off him, they gave it to The Miz, and it's just a big waste. I don't know.
I do agree with you there. You know, The Miz, or pardon me, the Otis thing, I think they were just on the hype train and they were like, let's give it to him. All the kids like him, all the fans like him. And then they realized, what are we doing? That was the dumbest thing they ever did.
And so it really was.
They gave it to the second dumbest guy in the WWE, and they gave it to The Miz, which I'll never understand any of it. I think it's all horrible. George, pipe in as my tag team partner. What do you think?
Guys, this is what happens when you hire Hollywood writers to book wrestling, okay? This is why the booking's so ass backwards in WWE. This is exactly why. Let the wrestling people book the wrestling. And as fundamentals, it's still storylines. Yeah, we live in a different era and all this now, but I got to watch what I say because we're live now. I can't do what I do in the chat, but The Miz, The Miz with an M should have, come on guys, this guy, the world, disgraceful. And yeah, I get he was booked as a transitional champion, and it's, I like that they gave Lashley the title because he was long overdue, but it's how they gave him the title. Like, I don't know. I haven't been a fan of WWE for a long time, so I'll just come off as ultra critical of them.
Fair enough, South Carolina, yeah. George. And what a great segue, because today is Wednesday. We record the Live on Live show 9:30, and it just so happens that AEW Dynamite is playing on Wednesday. So let me get this up to speed, and I want your guys' take. I see the opening match. It's Shaquille O'Neal. Okay, the guy's coming in. I don't know if you guys watched it, but there's twofold to this story. Yes, my gripe with WWE right now is it just feels like they're just bringing in presenters, doing their thing, and then you leave and go home. There's no real vigor in the story. Now, AEW is bringing in guys like Shaquille O'Neal, which I have a take on that in a second, but they're also bringing in guys like the Big Show, Paul White, which, by the way, he might have the best t-shirt in the business right now. It says, "No BS, Paul White." Get it? Big Show, bullshit. I mean, come on. whoever's doing this, it's beautiful. So is AEW going to go down the same train? Are they picking up the scraps? Are they going into too much of a bit of a ratings push to bring in these draws when they're unnecessary, which is why I say a lot of things in WWE are unnecessary. Your thoughts?
In this case, honestly, no. And I'll be honest, I was critical when I first heard about the whole Shaq thing about 2 months ago. I was like, this is going to be so stupid. But guys, this is completely unbiased. I saw the match tonight. It was really good. For what Shaq did at 49 years old and a guy who's never wrestled before, like, I was impressed. It wasn't Pat McAfee good. Don't get me wrong. That was phenomenal. Let's call a spade. That was great. But like, what two things I loved about Shaq tonight. A, he did exactly what he needed to do. He wasn't overbooked. He looked great. And that, kudos to him for taking that table bump. That's
crazy. He took the table. I couldn't believe it. He took the
table. Unbelievable. And then, but what that match meant to do was build up the two ladies in the ring, specifically Jade Cargill, who I think that's a star in the making. Like, I hate to compare. I hate to compare, man. But that's like, that's the next China, but one who actually looks like a woman. Sorry,
like a woman.
True.
Yeah. Well, hey, you know, and a lot of the videos and the work she did later in her career confirmed she was a woman. So, you know, yeah. George, I think you're hating a little bit here. Superfan Ryan, what's your take? Did you watch the AEW tonight? Do you just haven't made? And if you didn't, just an overall theme.
Well, yeah. Okay. So I didn't watch it tonight, but you know, the one thing I would say for AEW is, yeah, like I think they have to make sure they don't go into WCW territory. You know, kind of like what you said, they're bringing in a lot of these big talents. You know, you don't want to get too much into the Ted Turner billionaire, you know, handout kind of thing. You know, I think they, you know, they have great young talent. I think they need to focus on that talent right now more than ever. I think that's what's going to bring, you know, WWE fans over, more than watching Shaquille O'Neal, more than watching Jake the Snake Roberts as a manager, or, you know, they have lots of great young talent that they could really be pushing to be even bigger stars right now.
Yeah, great. You know what? Great point. And I'll finish it on this one. I'll throw it over to you, Mitch. But I will say this, watching that match with Shaq, like South Carolina, Georgia, I agree with you. He did a pretty good job. But you gain that much more respect for these performers in the ring that are trained to make the theatrics really come to life. Like even just being nimble, you know, doing certain things, like it, to the untrained eye, it's like, oh, that's easy, I could do it. But you don't realize how rigid people are and how much practice these, you know, let's call it what it is. It's Cirque du Soleil sports entertainment, right? Like that's there's an art and you tend to forget that. But that's great. I appreciate you guys chiming in.
Gentlemen, I think I figured something out. Dimitri, if you don't mind, I'm gonna pull a little, not that I have rank on you, but I'm gonna pull this. Gentlemen, this went so well, but because it was at the beginning, I think you two deserve to have your own little segment on Real Locker Room Talk. But next week we're gonna set it up and we'll have it a little bit maybe later on in the show rather than right at the beginning. But I want both of you on in a four-way tag team fatal interview match, whatever this is, what we're going to call. We'll figure out a segment. But gentlemen, if you're down, let's do this each week. I think it'll be fun for a few minutes.
Mitch, you reading my notes? You reading my post notes? Am I right? Are you reading my post? I had that written down. I'm like, Mitch, I think we made it. We just got the stars of the show.
I think so. This is awesome. This is great. I look forward to it. Gentlemen, I'm going to throw you guys off the chat so that we could get through this. But next week, think about it and kind of talk amongst yourselves on the chat board. But you guys are down. I'd love to have both of you guys as a weekly segment. I think it'll be fun. From there, Rapid Banter.
Ooh. Oh, I'm ready.
Episode 155. Here we go. Pro disc golfer Paul McBeth signed a 10-year, $10 million contract. Did we go wrong in our professions of life?
We went very wrong. Rapid Banter.
Buddy, can I tell you something? I know you're a golf guy. You love your golf. I think I might take up a little disc golf. I think it looks kind of fun. It looks kind of like something I could do.
I think we could come in and be instant competitors, tell you the truth.
If they're giving out 10-year, $10 million contracts, I'm liking this.
I know. I'm liking it too.
So, as I said earlier, the Houston Texans are not answering the phone to garner trade talks for Deshaun Watson. How else are they supposed to get trade negotiations in?
Well, it doesn't take Sherlock to figure out that you got to get rid of Watson and just start putting it out there. Rapid Banter.
So Cash Doll is a rapper and she's going by the initials KD. Let's put this to rest. Who is the real KD? KD Cash Doll, KD Kevin Durant, or KD Kraft Dinner?
It's obviously Kraft Dinner. And by the way, Cash starts with a C, not a K. Rapid Banter.
Which Canadian province is the Florida of Canada?
Oh, that's British Columbia, and it's called Victoria, more specifically. Rapid Banter.
The Green Monkey is a horse. It's a thoroughbred, sold for a record $16 million. Would you rather have been the Secretariat or the Green Monkey?
Who wouldn't want to be the Green Monkey? Rapid Banter.
Stop. Can I just say something? Who I like the horses have weird names. I think it's hilarious. I find it entertaining.
But sure.
You use another animal to name another animal. That's weird. The Green Monkey for a horse? That's the dumbest name I've ever heard.
No, I disagree. I disagree. You know what it is? It's like having a massive dog and calling it Bull. Makes sense, Mitch. Makes sense.
You know what? I stand corrected, ladies and gentlemen. I stand corrected. You did.
South Carolina, George. Come on, man. Come on, man. He goes, I once won $150 on a horse named Moe's Hoedown.
true. I know Moe's Hoedown. I know that verse. It's a great bread.
I told you, the chat's better than the show. I got to tell you. You know, we need to stream this chat, man. I bet it was.
St. Louis goalie this weekend, Bennington, fake punched a couple of San Jose players. What's worse, fake punch or fake orgasm?
Wait. Those are fake? Rapid banter.
Texas and Mississippi ended the mandate on wearing masks. Thoughts?
I still can't spell Mississippi. Rapid banter.
M-I-S-S-I.
That's I-P-P-I-O.
Last one. Here we go. Episode 155, rapid banter. Bigger surprise in the NBA this year, the number one Utah Jazz in the West or the number two Phoenix Suns in the West?
I'm going to go with the number two Phoenix Suns in the West. Rapid banter.
There it is. Let's jump over to Maga Malaga. So at the beginning of the podcast, we talked a little Bobby Lashley, and then I brought up Eddie Murphy. Listen, I still remember sitting down and watching Delirious for the first time in my life. And dude, till this day, it's one of those moments in my life I'll never forget. I laughed so hard because I knew I shouldn't have been watching it. I knew like the swearing was off the and some of the things that were said on that. Today, the guy canceled. They probably executed the guy. They probably killed the guy for what he was able to say back in the day for, you know, all the lingo and stuff. So, and then I said to you, well, Coming to America, it's getting replayed. It's being done, whatever. So I said, hey, Eddie Murphy, It's a low week. I was very busy today. I said, Maga Malaka, best Eddie Murphy movies. Are you ready?
Oh, I like it. And before we go on, I just want to make a correction. Sure. It was actually Superfan Ryan that won the $150, not South Carolina George, because we're an accurate podcast of the people. I eat the humble pie.
No, thank you for correcting that, because people were losing their minds going, hey, well, now, you know, if people are looking for Superfan Ryan, if he owes them money, that's not good. You should.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, now you should have left South Carolina Jordan do it. All right. Maga Malaka, Eddie Murphy movies. Here we go. How about just right off the bat, right? Nice, easy one over the plate. Coming to America, the first one, Maga or Malaka?
Maga, it's a classic. I mean, come on, who doesn't want a jacuzzi like that in their flat? You know what I mean?
It's so cool. Like, just you know what I love? I don't know why. I love that they worked at McDonald's. I thought it was McDougal's or whatever it's called. I just thought it was so wicked.
Where are we going to find a queen? Here, in Queens. It just seemed to me it's just brilliant writing, man. Just
all right. Maga or Malaka, I kind of already gave it away. Delirious, Maga or Malaka.
That might go down as maybe the greatest comedy sketch of all time, right? I mean, you know, if you think about the time it came out and its content. So yeah, definitely Maga.
Well, how about the other one you had, Raw, Maga or Malaka?
I still like Delirious better, but that one's just as good too.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Maga. Okay,
here's one for you. This is where he started getting a little soft. Sorry, Eddie, I gotta say my piece. The Nutty Professor, Maga or Malaka?
I didn't mind it, but I didn't love it either. So overall, I'm going to give it a Malaka.
Yeah, same with me. I'm going to give it a Malaka too. You know, I mean, it's got some, what's that? Hercules.
Yeah.
All the spots I respect. It's just, I don't know. I don't like that kind of comedy. It's not my thing. But at the same time, hey, I'm sure he made like hundreds of billions of dollars on it either way.
Yeah.
Here's another one. This one got hot. Beverly Hills Cop, Maga or Malaka?
You know what? Maga. I thought actually all the movies were good. Thought it was a good take. And you know what? It was the right place, right time for that kind of movie too. Right? Because you got to remember, it was like Lethal Weapon, Die Hard. Like all those types of movies were coming around. So yeah, I'll say Maga. You know what? Dare I say that Beverly Hills Cop was Bad Boys before Bad Boys, right? Like Bad Boys can thank Eddie Murphy and Beverly Hills Cop. My opinion.
That's a big statement there.
And I love Bad Boys. You know I love my Bad Boys.
I know you love your Bad Boys. All right, from there, let's go to one that he was in. You kind of tend to forget. Shrek, Maga or Malaka?
Maga. Yeah. You find me a better donkey. Find it.
I have. I'm talking to him right now.
That is no way to talk about South Carolina, George. That is no way to treat someone.
Two more for you. He was in a movie called I Spy with the legendary Owen Wilson. They were spies. I Spy Maga or Malaga.
I think if I spy that in any video store or online, I'll delete it right away. Malaga. Terrible.
One more. Okay, or two more. I'll give you two more. Here's one. It's actually, it got good reviews. Bowfinger, Maga, or Malaga?
Oh, Maga. That's a great movie. For those who haven't seen it, you don't know what you're missing. That is a fantastic movie. Have you seen Bowfinger?
You know what? I think I've seen a bit of it. It was Steve Martin, right?
Yeah, Steve Martin. Remember, he plays like the movie producer, and then there's the second side of him where he's like the really big nerd.
Yes.
Right. And he's like the double. Yeah. It's great, man. It's great.
I love it. All right, we'll finish it off on this one, episode 155. I actually kind of enjoyed it. I won't lie. Daddy Daycare, Maga, Malaga. It broke down walls.
I haven't seen it, and I don't think I'm going to, so I'm going to give it a Malaga.
I disagree. I thought it was great. There it is, episode 155, Maga Malaga, Eddie Murphy movies, coming to America, coming to you soon. You know, I don't know. We're not getting paid for this advertisement, but we're excited about the Coming to America 2.
That's right. Well, look, and you know what else is coming to America? The same thing that comes to Canada and everywhere else around the world. That's episode 155 of Real Locker Room Talk. Now, look, it's very simple. We're coming to you. How do you come to us? At RLRT Podcast on Instagram and Twitter. Real Locker Room Talk. That's how you search it if you're on Facebook and YouTube. And of course, you can like, listen, love, share, download, stream, do whatever the heck you want. Give it a high five. Maybe you want to put it in a Boston Crab. I don't know, but it's on Podbean, iTunes, and Spotify. Don't forget, every week, 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time, we record it live, and then we upload it, a couple days later when we do all the editing. But look, until then, we have to take episode 155. We got to shove it in the locker because Mitch, Dimitri, South Carolina, George, Superfan Ryan, and everyone that jumps in have to hit the showers.
Yeah, have a great week, guys. That was fun. That was amazing. Yeah. Listen, here's one. This is the one thing. I heard Eddie Murphy's got a few kids, different wives, right? And X Factor, he was has a kid with, what's her name? Scary Spice or Mel B.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and that was a bad falling out, no?
I think it was. I heard it was, right? And then I think at first,
they had a kid together? They did? Oh, okay. I remember the story. It wasn't really serious, but it's not like mine. They be beneath me, couldn't catch up. We keep it PG, never slip up. You couldn't reach me, turning this up. From here down to Fiji, they know what's up. Since we got game, we figured we give it all. Stay for a bit. This ain't no winning. Eddie Murphy, he's so funny. Have you ever seen him do his Tracy Morgan impression? That gets me buckled. It's so funny. It's so funny. The guy's funny just in general. Actually, you know what's really cool too? He was on, very rarely do I watch the late night comedy shows anymore, or talk shows, I should say. Like I used to, like back in the day. I mean, I think every night I was watching Conan O'Brien, Jay Leno, Letterman, like all those guys, right? But I don't watch him anymore. But he was on Jimmy Fallon, and I just happened to catch it, and it was a really good interview. He was kind of reminiscing about celebrities that he met and all that. He's got actually a really funny one on Rodney Dangerfield. That one was pretty good.
He's a master. I really enjoy the guy. I think he's so funny, and that's why I don't know why it just got into my head. I was perusing the internet looking for some material today, and then I see that the advertisement for number two is coming out. And it's Arsenio Hall. His counterpart's in it as well from Bill, right? And
so he's good.
The old characters. They did a little trailer where they go to the barbershop, and he's doing all the same guys. Even the white Jewish man that's playing in the corner, he's doing the same character again. The guy's so good, man. He's just got
I just hope what they don't do is they like Dumb and Dumber was terrible for this, where you literally try to repeat the first movie, and I just hope it's its own movie. right? Like if you're going to wait that long and bring it back, I really, really hope that it's its own movie.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, but yeah, that's crazy, man. You know, he's been, think about the life that guy's had though, right? Or a lot of like, you know, because if you're a certain type of celebrity, you don't get overly scrutinized for, let's say, going out or having fun. But he's the type of guy I'm sure got invited everywhere. Like everyone wanted to have Eddie Murphy around.
Isn't he kind of like he was or is, I don't know how you want to look at it. Kevin Hart is him now, the way I look at it. I feel like.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, but will we ever see? But I don't know, man. Like you look at that, those comedians, like Eddie Murphy. These guys got away with a lot more, mind you, different era, different time.
You can't.
But I don't know, man. It's like Kevin Hart. Don't get me wrong; the guy's funny. But is he really in the league of an Eddie Murphy, though? Do you think?
You know what? I have to admit, Matt. I don't know what it is, and maybe I do slightly. Kevin Hart's got this delivery. It's the way he says things that I can't help. I just laugh every time. And then I won't say that all his material is fantastic, but there's something about his delivery that makes me laugh. And I'm talking about his comic. Like when he's doing a movie, I'm not as impressed. I don't find, like, you know, because it's a script, it's different, right? But live shit, man, I really do think Kevin Hart's got some great material. But there's so many great comics out there right now. Like, this is the era. You want to be alive and you love your comedy, there's no better time to be alive. There's so many smart, funny people out there right now that it's like you could die from laughing. Like, that's how much I think there's such good comedy out there right now. But.
Yeah, and I like that their work is accessible. Like, you got to think, like, they're on Netflix now, right? So everyone's got a Netflix special. So it's not, you know, you have to either go to the show or scour the depths of the internet to hear about someone. It's like you're learning about comedians, you know, like I said, just on Netflix or whatever the case is. But, yeah, man, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. You're right. He does have a delivery. He's got the voice. Mitch, I got to send it to you. He did this one comedy skit when he hosted Saturday Night Live talking about how hard it is being like the fun dad. Like, so basically he's like, look, he's like, we're the only ones that play with our kids and we have like all the fun because, you know, we only see them for the smaller amount of time. But it's so good. I'm going to send it to you. You're going to die laughing.
Fire it over. I'd love to hear it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we're talking about, you know, Kevin Hart and and Eddie Murphy and Superfan Ryan and South Carolina George have a different conversation going on. Oh, you two.
It does ask me if there's going to be an explicit talk on the pod before I start it.
Right.
That's so.
I'm telling you, people got to join this chat, man.
These guys go and start their own podcast. We can't.
Superfan Ryan, South Carolina George. We got the mics. We got the know-how. You want a wrestling podcast? You want to stay just 20 minutes, half hour, whatever you want. You want us to set that up for you? You let us know. We'll be a guest on your show if you want. I'm just saying. Think about it. Okay, boys. Awesome. Okay, guys. Thanks again, Mitch. I gotta sign off here.
See you guys. Have a great time. Thank you for your help. And next week, get ready, gentlemen. Bye-bye.